Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. This week, we're going to be talking about Esther as we are about to be celebrating Purim and what Purim represents to us, what we can learn from the story of Esther. You know, Esther was a very brave woman who stood up for her people at a time when they needed somebody to stand up for them. And so we're going to see how we can act as Esther acted at this moment in time in the situation that we are in. Esther was put in a place for a purpose, just as Joseph was placed inside that prison in the jail at that time for a purpose. Esther was chosen to be the queen for a purpose, for a reason. She was positioned there, and it was for this purpose. And we have a purpose, and we have been positioned where we are for a purpose. And the question is, are we going to fulfill the purpose which we have been given, or are we going to bow out in fear or in doubt? So let's look at Esther chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, "And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the exact amount of silver that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries to cause the Jews to perish. He also gave him a copy of the written law, which had been given in Susa for their destruction, in order to show Esther and to tell her and to command her to go into the king to implore his favor and to seek him out for her people. Then Hathach came back and told Mordecai's words to Esther. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and commanded him to reply to Mordecai, 'All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that for any man or woman who comes to the king, to the inner court, who is not summoned, he has but one law, that he be put to death, unless the king holds out to him the golden scepter, so that he may live. And I have not been summoned to come to the king for these 30 days. So they told Esther's words to Mordecai. Then Mordecai said for them to respond to Esther, 'Do not imagine that you and the king's house can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not reached royalty for such a time as this?'" So what's going on in this story is Haman is filled with anger, and that anger was toward Mordecai, because Mordecai stood at the gate of the city, and Mordecai refused to bow down to Haman as Haman would walk by. And so this infuriated Haman, made him very angry, and Haman, upon finding out that Mordecai was a Jew, decided that he would get rid of Mordecai and all the Jews because of his anger toward Mordecai not bowing down unto him. Mordecai would not bow down to another man. He knew he was only to bow to his God. So he refused to bow to Haman. And so this put a hatred in Haman's heart towards Mordecai and the Jews. And so what we see here in this story is we see Haman, who seems to be power hungry, who is filled with hate and anger. And then we see Mordecai, who is a person who is humble. And he comes And he relays this message to Esther's people, to her servants, those who were working under her, to give this message to her of what is going on, that, hey, your people, and you're one of those, is about to be destroyed because of this man, Haman. And he gives Esther instructions to go before the king. And as we see here in this passage, for Esther to go before the king was going to require her to take a big risk, because she had not been called or summoned to go before the king before the date in which the Jews were going to be wiped out. So she would have to go before the king unsummoned. And the payment to someone who goes before the king unsummoned was to be put to death, unless that person found favor with the king and held out his golden scepter towards them, saying, I show you my favor, I receive you before me. So Esther is going to have to take a risk. That's what she's being called to do. She has been placed in this position, and she is here for this purpose. She has been positioned there to save her people. Just as Joseph was placed in Egypt in order to save his family, which would ultimately bring the Jewish people. So she now has to make a choice. Am I going to look at the situation, and am I going to respond in fear? Am I going to say the risk is too great for me to do this? Or am I going to respond in bravery? Am I going to be courageous? Am I going to take a risk for my people because I love my people? The greatest love is to lay oneself down for another. Esther demonstrates her love for her and for Mordecai and for her people by taking the risk and being willing to lay down her life in order to save them, that she might save them. And yes, she had to love herself, because as Mordecai told her, don't think you will be spared. If you are too fearful to go before the king, you will not be spared, but God will use another to save his people. So yes, it was a love for her people, but it was also a love for herself, to spare herself as well. And in order to spare herself, she had to be willing to take a risk. She had to be willing to respond courageously in this moment. And of course, what we know happens in this story is Esther calls for a fast, and for 3 days they fast. And then she goes before the king, and she finds favor before the king. And her people are spared. And the one who loses their life is Haman. So that's what we celebrate on Purim, is the fact that Esther stood in bravery, who was courageous to go before the king. Her people and her fasted for 3 days, and Mordecai fasted for 3 days. And God showed them favor before the king. When she went in before the king, God's favor was upon her. And Haman, the one who sought to kill and destroy them was the one who was ultimately hung on the gallows that he had built for Mordecai to be hung on. And then Mordecai is elevated into a position of power under the king. So it teaches us in this story that if you want to be elevated, if you want to see life, if you want to live, we need to walk as Esther and Mordecai walked. We need to walk as people who are filled with grace and humility, who are filled with love and courage, who have faith, and not to be as Haman. If you're filled with anger, if you're seeking power, if you're power hungry, you will see the demise as Haman saw. But to those who are humble, who walk in humility, who walk in love and in grace and in faith in something that is bigger than themselves, a faith in God, trusting and believing in Him with His favor, you will see life. And so that's what we celebrate this Purim, is the fact that God showed His favor and saved His people from this evil man of Haman. So now let's look at some things that we can learn from this lesson. As I talked about, Esther did not respond in fear, but she was courageous. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, or you could say fear, but of power and love and self-discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of either the witness about our Lord or me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us and Messiah Yeshua from all eternity. So here is Paul speaking. He is telling us, God has not given us the spirit of fear. So as we have been called for a purpose, and we are here for a reason, just as Esther was there for a purpose, for a time and a season, for that very purpose. We have been placed here for a purpose. And he has not given us a spirit of fear, because if we're operating in the spirit of fear, we will not fulfill the purpose he has given us to do. Fear will restrain us. Fear will keep us from doing what we need to do. Fear would have kept Esther from taking the risk and going before the king to spare her people. She did not respond in fear, but she responded with courage. He has given us his power. His power is inside of us. The power we need to fulfill our purpose and the calling which he has placed upon us, he has given us, and it resides in us. We do not lack any good thing inside of us. We have power. His spirit is living and dwelling inside of us, and his spirit is empowering us to do what we need to do, to respond in courage and not in fear, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of that which he has called us to do. Whether or not that means we suffer for the spreading of the gospel, he has empowered us to be able to walk through that. so that when suffering comes, we do not respond in fear and we do not back off. We do not stop. We do not cease because we're afraid of the suffering. But instead, we continue because His power is in us. His power resides in us. And we have His love inside of us. His love is what should propel us to do what we have been called to do. We have been called to love people. And we are to love them. And we are to show love unto them. Fear will prevent us from loving people. Fear will prevent us from loving people as we have been instructed to love them. The fear of suffering, the fear of rejection, the fear of pain, of any kind of maybe the way they perceive us, whether or not we are received by them or how they treat us. If we are caught up in that fear and worried and being concerned about that, then we won't be loving them. And we've also been called to walk in self-discipline. Being disciplined in what we need to do in order to fulfill the calling that He has placed upon our life. It's interesting. Esther showed discipline by fasting for 3 days. She showed love by willing to take the risk to go before the king. And she also showed her power in doing those things and being willing to go and speak her voice and make her voice heard by the king. We need to be willing to allow our voices to be heard. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Then he answered and spoke to them, saying, "This is the word of Yahweh to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says Yahweh of hosts." So here is the prophet speaking. How do we fulfill that which He has called us to do? It's not by our might or by our power, but it is by His Spirit. See, His Spirit's going to give us the might and power. But what He's saying here is we're not doing it by ourselves, but by His Spirit. It's God living inside of us. And with God living inside of us, His power, His might is inside of us, and we're doing it by His power. So we are to be led by His Spirit. And when we're led by His Spirit, then His favor is upon us, and then we will fulfill the purpose and destiny in which we have when we become reliant upon the God who is living inside of us, by Yahweh who is living in us, by His Spirit. Let's listen to the testimony of Stephen in Acts chapter 6 and verse 8. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. So think about this. Stephen, full of the Spirit, of God's Spirit living inside of him, of God's power inside of him. He was full of God's power, and he was full of His grace, which you could also say he was full of His love. He was full of the love of God, showing love, showing grace, the opposite of what Haman showed. Haman did not show grace. He showed anger. and wrath and unforgiveness and envy and jealousy and a desire for power. But Stephen, on the other hand, is full of love and of God's power. And in doing so, he did great wonders and signs among the people. God's power was working through Stephen because he was full of his love and of his power. When we become full of his love and of his power, we will do great signs and wonders. We will do his work. We will fulfill that which he has called us to do. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. So here, Paul is telling us, what is your mind set on? If your mind is set on the things of the flesh, if your mind is set on fear, if it's set on jealousy and envy, if you're coveting that which somebody else has, like Haman was coveting the fact that Mordecai would not bow down unto him. If your mind is set upon unforgiveness and bitterness, then you will walk according to those desires, and that will lead to death. Just as Haman found death, he was hung on the gallows. But if your mind is set according to the Spirit, according to the instructions in which God has given us, loving people and showing people love, showing grace, showing forgiveness, walking in self-control, and loving God, doing his ways, walking as he walked, doing that which is right. Not just doing whatever feels good in the moment, whatever satisfies you at this moment, but you setting your mind upon that which he has placed and given unto you, and doing those things you need to do to fulfill that which he has given you to do. To that mind, there is life and peace. So if we're going to be as Esther, and have the courage as Esther, we need to have our mind set on the things of the Spirit. We need to have our mind set upon his word, upon his instructions, thinking upon his word, thinking upon that which is holy, thinking upon that which is righteous, that which is pure, that which is good. And not having our mind set on the things of this world, on that which does not serve us, which leads to death instead of life. We can have life and we can have peace in the midst of suffering. Now let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, having girded your minds for action, being sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Yeshua Messiah. So here, Peter is telling us, gird your minds for action. We need to be mindful and paying attention to what our minds are thinking about. Are our minds filled with doubt? Are our minds filled with questioning whether or not he is going to do what he said he would do? Are we questioning our purpose and our intent? Or are our minds filled with faith, with belief, with an expectation that he will do what he said he would do? Are our minds set with an expectation that we will fulfill the purpose for which he has given us to do? He also says to be sober in spirit, or you could say sober in our mind. But what is the scripture referring to where he says, be sober in spirit? If you look into this word and the Greek word and how this word is defined, this word would be defined as to be calm, collected in spirit, to disimpassionate. So basically, what Peter is saying here and instructing us to do, so gird your mind. So take up action in your mind for action. Be of a sober spirit. Be sober-minded, okay? So be calm and collected in your spirit. Be calm and collected in your mind and in your thoughts. To be sober-minded is for your mind not to be ruled and controlled by your passions, but it is steadfast, it is calm, it is at peace. Something may happen, but you don't serve the passion or the emotion that you feel at that moment, and that emotion and that passion doesn't begin to rule over your mind and your thoughts. But your mind and your thoughts stay steadfast on that which they are to be focused upon. To be sober-minded is to stay steadfast in your thinking, focused upon that which is spiritual, that which is right. Keeping our minds focused and having faith, a belief, and expectation. Having our minds focused on doing that which is right, that which is righteous, no matter what emotion gets stirred up, no matter what happens to us, no matter what circumstance comes up. It is the courage to stand against what our emotions may draw us away. Because our emotions, our flesh, will try to get us to respond in a negative way, in a sinful way, in a way that is according to the flesh instead of that which is according to the spirit. It's going to get you to try to respond in envy and unforgiveness and jealousy and lasciviousness. But the spirit is going to get us to respond and wants us to respond in love and gentleness, kindness, joy, peace, patience, and self-control. So it's us being able to have a mind that is focused upon fulfilling the fruit of the Spirit in our lives and girding up our minds to take action to do those things. So as we celebrate this season of Purim, let us look inside of us and let us look to find the same power in us that gives us the courage to do as Esther did. To go and stand before the king and make an appeal for her people. May we have the courage and bravery of Esther. And when we do, we will find that the favor of God is upon us, just like it was upon Esther. Well, hallelujah, we are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.